Martin Luther said this about Romans. Here's what he said. This is what his quote is.
Never be read or pondered too much. And the more it is dealt with, the more precious it becomes, and the better it tastes. End of quote. You know, as I looked at that quote, I liked the very last part where it says, the better it tastes. And I thought of the verse in Psalm which says, taste and see that the Lord is good. God wants us to taste and see. He wants us to come into His Word, to read His Word, and to taste and see how good He is. This quote that Luther had is a very humbling quote. It speaks of Luther's spiritual growth and teaches us the importance of knowing the Word of God. I thought I was humbled when it says, every Christian shall know this word for word. And I don't come close to knowing this word for word. I know parts of it. And so it's just tells me, humbles me about the spiritual growth that Martin Luther had. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. When we draw close to Him by reading His Word, and by praying and spending time with Him, He speaks to us, and He gets close to us. And that's what we need during these times today. We need to know that God is there. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll be there all the time. And we need to know that and understand that. I want to touch on just a few verses before I get into the meat of this text. And that's verse 1 and verses 4 through 10. In verse 1, Paul says, he is a bond servant of Christ Jesus. Paul is a servant, our slave of Christ. He took the position willingly of serving Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus loves us. He died for us. But He never makes us His servant. We must voluntarily come to Him by faith and make us our servant to Him. We must yield our lives to Him. And I think when I think of that, about yielding our life to Him and surrendering our life to Christ, I think of the verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our steps. We are to trust in our Lord completely, with all of our heart, all of our very being, and acknowledge Him in each and everything we do. And when we do, He's going to lead us and direct us. That's what it means to surrender our lives to Him. We surrender so completely that we don't have to worry about the cares and the concerns going on around us today. Because we know that God is in control and He's going to take care of us. We must realize and never forget that we are a child of God and He is taking care of His children. And we praise Him and thank Him for that. As Christians, Matthew 5:13 says that we are the salt of the earth. Salt makes us thirsty. And we should be making others thirsty for Christ. We should be making others thirsty for Christ. Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, is the water of life. In John 4:10, it says Jesus is the living water. And He gives us living water. But we must choose to serve Jesus as Paul did. We must choose to serve Jesus, surrendering our entire life to Him. As it says in Acts 17:28, in Him we live, we move, and have our very existence. Do we realize those things? In Christ, we live, we move, and have our very existence. We need to realize that. And we need to surrender everything to Him. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it's so important, I can't miss it. It says, "Who was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." We have the Trinity at work in this verse. It contains the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the power of God the Father, and the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit. The resurrection did not make Jesus Christ the Son of God. It revealed who He was. The resurrection revealed who Christ was. In verse 5, it says, "Through whom we have received grace." Grace is God's unmerited favor. We did not deserve His grace. He gave His grace. It is His method of salvation. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." You know, as I think of God's grace, personally, the verse that comes to my mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, where Paul says, "There, but by the grace of God go I." It is so very important that we realize that. Everything we have, everything we are, and everything we do is by God's grace. Have you thought of that? Everything, your job, your car, your friends, everything we have is by God's grace. We might think it is ours, but it's not. Our righteousness and the way we act is filthy rags without Christ. Everything we are, everything we have, and everything we do is by God's grace. And that's why Paul says, "There but by the grace of God go I." Verse 6 and 7 of this text says, "Among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ, to all in Rome, beloved of God in Rome, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." Everyone here and everyone who is a believer of Jesus, knowing that He is the Son of God by faith, is called by Him, is beloved of God, and called as saints. Have you thought of that? Your faith in Christ is because you have been called by God. And you've been called by Him, and you are a saint. A saint because of your faith. Believers are called saints. A person becomes a saint when Jesus becomes his Savior. This is the good part right here. A saint is not one who has been exalted, but one who exalts Jesus Christ. Right, Elf? That is it. A saint has not been exalted, but it's one who exalts Jesus Christ. We give Him all the glory, all the honor. We love Him with all of our being, all of our heart. As it says in Matthew 22, 37, where Jesus commands us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." That's what God wants. That's what Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, wants. We are saints. We are called saints, and we exalt Jesus Christ. When we trust Jesus, we have a home in heaven and peace with God. It's not our character that makes us a saint, but our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus makes us a saint. Verse 8 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is being proclaimed throughout the world." Their faith Jesus is talking to these people in Rome, and he says, these Christians, he says, your faith is being proclaimed throughout the world. Isn't that precious and powerful? Do people know of your faith? Do people know you're a Christian? Do people know you believe in Jesus? Do people know he's your Savior and he's your Lord? Do they? Have you ever given your testimony, ever talked about Jesus with someone? Their faith was known throughout the world. Very precious. Paul was a great prayer warrior. So I've talked about prayer this morning. He was a great prayer warrior. He had a long prayer list, and thank God for the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:4. He thanked God for the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:15. He thanked God for the Philippians in Philippians 1:3. He thanked God for the Colossians in Colossians 1:3. He thanked God for the Romans in 1:8 through 10. And for Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:3. He was thankful for his brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be thankful we are in the family of God. Every time we pray, I believe that when we pray, we should be praising, thanking God that we are a child of God, that Jesus Christ has worked in us, and we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. We should be thanking God for that. Why take that for granted? That is the most precious thing there is. Thank God that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and as God. Not everyone does. I believe that all that's happening around us today is happening with many people who do not know who God is. We need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to be praying for each other and for other ones besides. Now we look at our text. I think this is a powerful text. Romans chapter 1, 14 through 17. For I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Let's read it together, I think. Let's start over and read it together. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. These are the I ams of Paul, and these should be our I ams also. It says here that Paul says he's obligated. He says, in a different version it says obligated. Here he says, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. He was not in debt to these people. In fact, Paul was a tent maker. He always provided for himself. So he was not in debt to anyone. But here he says, I'm a debtor. Why is he a debtor? Because he was indebted to his relationship to Jesus Christ. He was obligated or debted because of what Jesus had done for him. Because the grace of God had been given to him, he felt obligated or debted to everyone else. To everyone. This is precious. Because the grace of God had been given to Paul for him to understand who Jesus was, he felt debted to everybody. So he didn't want to leave anybody out. So wherever he went, he wanted to preach Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. He wanted everybody to know Jesus at the risk of his own life, at the risk of imprisonment, at the risk of torture, at the risk of everything. He preached Jesus. because he was indebted or obligated to Jesus because of what Jesus had done for him. It's a good lesson for each of us. Verse 15 says, "Thus for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." Paul says he is ready to meet his obligation or his debt. He's ready to preach the gospel. Are we ready to share the word of God? Do we feel indebted for what Christ has done for us? We're thankful that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. But do we feel that we should be out there teaching and sharing the word of God with others, like Paul did? Paul says he's ready to meet this obligation and ready to preach. I think each one of us has been given the word of God. Every one of us has been ready to have some part to share with someone, whether it be family, friends, people we work with, or people we come across with. We could do it in a gentle way. We do it with reverence and gentleness. But it's important to be able to share. That's what Paul did. And that's what we can do too. That's what that last hymn we sang about said. We need to share what Jesus means to us, what the Holy Spirit means to us, and what the Holy Spirit's been doing in our lives. See, this is important to understand. God had a purpose for us, a plan for us to be saved. Jesus paid the price of that plan on the death on the cross. But the Holy Spirit protects us and keeps us right now. They're all three at work. Verse 16 tells us how to be ready and to be a witness for God. It tells us how to be ready and how to be a witness. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So how do we share? We, first of all, we're not ashamed. Just like Paul was not ashamed. We should not be ashamed of God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. If we're afraid to say it to somebody, then we are ashamed. Paul was obligated. It was his admission that he was obligated to Christ for what Christ had done for him. He was ready to pay that obligation, and he was submitting to the will of God. Why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. How do we show our attitude toward the gospel? By believing, by studying, and by not being ashamed to speak of God, to speak of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No one in here should be ashamed to do that. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, look to see how this verse goes along with what I just said. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This verse is speaking when Jesus comes back at the second coming. Because that's when he comes back with his angels. With his holy angels. We are not to be ashamed of Christ our Lord. If anyone's ashamed of Christ, Christ will be ashamed of them before the Father. First of all, I don't believe anybody that's saved is ashamed. Because you come to Christ, yielding your life to him. But at the same time, let's carry that step further and let's be able to talk about him. Let's be able to speak of God our Father and what he does. As it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything we have, everything we see is of God. We're not to be ashamed of Christ, our Savior and Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says this, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God." the power of God. Because the cross is where Jesus died and later was raised from the dead. Salvation is an all-inclusive term of the gospel. It is deliverance. It is justification and it's glorification. As it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Salvation is for everyone. The condition is faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else. Salvation is for everyone, and the condition is faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 1:17. Probably one of the key verses in this whole, well, the key verse probably in the book of Romans. It says, "For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." The righteous man is a person who believes in Jesus Christ. Just like it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And here it says, the righteous man. The righteous man is the one who has peace with God and is right before God. The righteous man shall live by faith. Nothing else. Faith in Jesus Christ. And once we live for eternity with Jesus, we have a home in heaven. Then we go on to do other things. Our faith produces works. The believer is absolutely accepted because of what Christ has done for him. Righteousness is by faith in Christ Jesus. Faith cannot be separated from Jesus Christ. Jesus became man. He died on the cross and rose from the dead for our justification, according to the Scriptures. We need to believe in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We need to believe in Jesus, that we might become the righteousness of God. Verse 17 is the key to this text. It says, faith to faith. That means that God saves you by faith in Jesus Christ. You live in faith, you die in faith, and you will be in heaven by faith. As it is written, refers to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, where the statement is made, "The just shall live by faith." This statement, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "As it is written, the just shall live by faith," is found in Habakkuk, it's found in Romans, it's found in Galatians, and it's found in Hebrews. Every word of God is important. When it's repeated twice, it's very important. When it's repeated three times, it's highly important. I don't know what the right word is when it's repeated four times. But this is how important this is. It's not once, it's not twice, it's not three times. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the condition for us to be saved and be children of God. Faith to believe in Jesus Christ. God saves us by his grace, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. He saves us because we trust in Christ Jesus and we believe in him. The conclusion to this message is, one, Paul was obligated or indebted, and we should be obligated to Christ for what he's done for us. Secondly, we should be eager to share the gospel. And third, we should not be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, the Jew first and to also to the Greek. Hebrews 12:2 tells us where we should focus on, where our eyes should be focused on in Hebrews 12:2. It says, "Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, but sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." During everything that's happening to us, everything that's going on in the world, we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We'll finish with the promise that Paul gives us about the inseparable love of God in Christ Jesus from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Remember that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you for this powerful word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work that you have done. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. And we thank you for being raised from the dead for our justification. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting us of sin, revealing the Word of God to us, and helping us to grow in the Word and to understand it. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we can be eager to share the gospel, to share the Word of God with other people. We ask that the Holy Spirit would help us as we are given divine opportunities each and every day. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.